This is Pocket Watching with JT, the call-in financial talk show focused on helping you get your money right. Jason Thornton is a certified financial planner licensed in both tax and investments. Now, this is not personal financial advice. This is JT's real reaction to all your money and business questions. Are you deep in debt, living paycheck to paycheck, and looking for a way out? Call Pocket Watching with JT, the financial advisor for the people. Need more? Book your personal consultation with my man JT at pocketwatcher.net. Now, let's go pocket watching.
Hey, Pocket Watchers. Welcome to Pocket Watching with JT. I am certified financial planner Jason Thornton. I am a real life financial advisor that specializes in tax and wealth planning for my clients. But on YouTube, I react to your money questions and scammer news. Big shout out to all the Pocket Watchers. We are getting closer and closer to 100,000 subscribers. So do me a favor, hit the like button, hit the share button, subscribe if you have not already. Let's get straight into it. What are we talking about tonight? Tonight can be summed up in a few words. It's pay what you owe. Pay what you owe. It's a basic concept. It's something that all adults should understand. But for whatever reason, there's a disconnect between what we know is right and what we actually do. See, I was taught as a child that you should only put on your plate what you can eat. Let me elaborate a little bit. See, my mother, a very, very smart woman, my mother taught us that you should only put on your plate what you can eat, because if you overload your plate, not only are you going to hurt yourself, you're going to stuff yourself. You're going to end up sick at the end of the day. You're also going to waste food. That's something that you should not do. So you should only put on your plate what you can eat if you are a responsible member of the family. Now, how does that relate to the topic tonight? Well, if you've paid attention to the news, there are two big things that have been really concerning a lot of people. Number one, evictions have been going up, not just in one particular area of the country, but all over. Major cities in the United States of America are experiencing a ridiculous rise in evictions. In addition to that, we have student loans that now are due. For 3 years, many of us, and I include myself, many of us have been living in some sort of alternative reality. We've been living in a world that has been really fake. We've been living in a world where for 3 years, you could not pay your rent and still live in whatever apartment or home that you're in. You could not be evicted for 3 years. And for 3 years, you did not have to pay your student loans. Now, I understand the reasoning behind this. I understand what government officials thought they were doing, but ultimately, I believe it created a moral hazard. It created a situation where people began to rely on something that was extremely temporary, and they began to rely and abuse a policy that was supposed to be in place to help save lives. So, for those who abuse the system, who did not need rental assistance, you did not need to be in a situation where the government was helping you either pay your rent or you just abused your landlord by not paying a rent because you knew he could not kick you out. Your day has come. See, you have to pay what you owe. Rent is due. Same thing with student loans. For 3 years, you did not have to pay your student loans. 3 years when you could have been, saving the money that you normally would put on your student loan. When you could have been really knocking out that student loan so that by the time we got to here, you would either had it paid off or paid down. No, that's not what happened. See, there is a thing that we refer to as lifestyle creep. Traditionally, lifestyle creep is when you begin to make more money instead of taking advantage of the fact that you make more money and you could pay down debt or you can save and invest. You allow your expenses to increase at about the same rate as your income. And with lifestyle creep, what ends up happening is, even though you make more money, you're still living paycheck to paycheck because you allowed your lifestyle, your personal expenses, to creep up at the same rate that your income increased. Now, in this situation, many of you may not have experienced an increase in your income. Listen, I got it. I understand. Even though your income did not increase, what happened was your expenses decreased. Let's pay attention here. You did not have to pay your student loan. Many of you, apparently, you did not have to pay your rent. So now you had this bigger cushion between the amount of money you were making and the expenses that you had. Now, I want to show you guys a chart. This is very interesting to me. This chart shows, tracked by the Federal Reserve, this shows the savings rate of the U.S. So this is United States citizens. I want you guys to see this. Personal savings rate. In this chart, we can see the level of savings the individual U.S. citizen would have, right? Now, when the pandemic hit, I want you to see this huge spike that goes up. Just a line that goes straight up in the air. When the pandemic hit, the federal government threw a bunch of money at U.S. citizens. And you see the amount of money that the average U.S. citizen had in savings just shoot right up. The problem is what happened after. Even though the government threw money at people, and just threw money at people, now, as of 2022, the savings rate is below what it was before the pandemic. Just let this sink in for a second. I want y'all to think about this. The government threw money at us so that we could hopefully stay in our homes, be able to pay our bills, to allow the economy to recover from the shutdowns. We got a lot of money in our hands, more money than most of us ever had in savings. Think about this. But here we are, after the pandemic, and we actually have less money saved than we had before the government threw money at us. Now, you should be asking the question, why? Where did the money go? If the money did not go towards paying many of people's rent, because clearly the rent is due for a lot of people, because the evictions are ridiculous. And if the money did not go towards student loans, because many people are very, very afraid of having to pay their student loans now. Where did the money go? Well, I have an opinion. I'm no researcher, but I have a hypothesis, right? Based on my observations, I see you guys online. I see you on TikTok. I see you on Instagram. I see what you claim you do with your money. In my humble opinion, I believe many of you got. All of a sudden, you had this extra money in your hands. And instead of prepaying your bills, paying down or paying off your student loan, or just simply saving the money, somebody or some group of people convinced you to invest your money with online courses. Because I'm seeing courses out here that cost the same as junior college tuition. You thought you were going to become a master day trader, so you paid $5,000 for a course. Or you thought you were going to be an Airbnb millionaire, so you paid thousands of dollars for an Airbnb mentor. Or you were going to rent cars on Turo, right? All of these things that these fake gurus said that was going to make you millionaires. You took the money that was an unprecedented amount of savings. And instead of actually saving it, paying down debt, you decided to give it to grifters. And now you have less money than you started with, right? They taught you how to get multiple credit cards so you can buy real estate. They taught you all of this stuff. Claim that you were going to be a multimillionaire credit repair specialist, right? Said that they were going to buy real estate with your money, and instead they're paying for Taco Bell 5 or 10 times a day. We have to get to a point where we are no longer fooled to trade in our cows for magic beans. You had real money in your hands, more than most people have ever had in their life. And less than 3 years later, you have nothing to show for it. Nothing. See, you cannot get a new job based on the online course that you took. Last time I checked, you can't take your recession-proof certificate and get a job. Last time I checked. But for those of you who are confused and you know, are unfamiliar with what I'm talking about, I'm going to show a short video to show you how crazy the evictions and the student loans are getting. Then when we come back, I want y'all to hit the link that's going to be in the chat. We're going to have a conversation. I want to hear from you guys. What are you seeing in your neighborhoods and your communities? What are you experiencing? Are you going through this? Is a friend going through this? What's your plan to deal with whatever your housing cost is, whatever your student loans is? Are you living paycheck to paycheck? I want to know, because trust me, I saw this coming. I don't want to be the guy that says I told you so, but listen, I told you so. So check this video out and I'll be right back.
Eviction letters.
A housing official asked Atlanta City Council members to find a way to help. Fox News' Moore Stiggs explains the evictions have restarted after a pause during the pandemic.
You don't have to fall under the legal definition of poverty to have all your belongings put out on the street because you got way behind on the rent.
Filings have ramped up the mounting number of evictions in Fulton and DeKalb counties.
This Atlanta Housing Commission official estimates 12,000 tenants have been or are now under an eviction threat. The pause on legal filings did not erase a rent balance. And being forced from the home can turn lives upside down.
This is the first time they got me down for eviction.
A senior living in this large complex has a different circumstance. Veronica Showers explained to her landlord about a series of personal setbacks.
I do security. I worked every day, but it's like I was just working for nothing. Every time I got paid, they went in, they was getting the loans.
How many months are you behind?
Lord have mercy, 11,000 something.
Andrew Schneggenberger said late fees and other charges keep residents even further behind. He says new government assistance is needed.
Leah Gould was all ears as she talked to people at different tables. She was soaking up information because she was worried about what was to come.
I'm not going to lie, it's not easy anymore.
Gould's struggling because of rent, an issue that landed her at Harris County Justice of the Peace Precinct 7, Place 1's courtroom.
It's kind of like tough because I don't know where I'm going to go after if I do get evicted.
Gould wasn't alone. Judge Wanda Adams says she's never had a day like today inside her courtroom. Originally, she had more than 140 eviction cases on the docket.
This is the largest I've had since I've been on the bench for the last 2.5 years, almost 3 years.
A growing concern, not only in Adams' courtroom.
I would call it substantially worse because in any given month this year, it's been higher than the average in 2019 by anywhere from 20 to 70%.
January Advisors Principal Jeff Reichman tracks evictions across Harris County. He says the pandemic slowed cases. There were eviction moratoriums, rental assistance, and stimulus checks. Those are gone. Reichman says unless more affordable housing options are available, the situation may get worse.
It's almost as if all the good work that was done to prevent evictions during the pandemic came roaring back with a vengeance.
Denise, since the start of COVID, landlords have had a lot of trouble getting rid of tenants who don't pay. But over the last few weeks, that's changed.
Did you feel like you got lucky today?
Yes, I did.
It was 25-year-old Imani Robinson's lucky day.
And that there was a default sometime between April and May.
Months behind in her rent and late to her hearing, Robinson was at the mercy of the Clark County Eviction Court hearing master, Amy Ferreira.
So I am going to allow her to come in and participate in the proceeding.
That proceeding could have spelled the end of that tenancy for Robinson and her two young children. But her landlord agreed to let her stay because she has a rental assistant application pending. But they didn't have to, especially since the COVID rule expired.
There is no requirement that a landlord waits on a pending rental assistance application because that particular legislation expired. However,
Robinson's landlord is willing to wait for that rental assistance to kick in, giving Robinson another chance.
Did you think you were going to get thrown out today?
Yes, I did.
And she wouldn't be alone. Last month, eviction filings in the county went up to over 4,200 from 4,084 in July. And the number of evictions granted also went up to almost 3,200 from 2,954 the prior month. And lately, if you don't pay your rent and you don't have a legal excuse, the court won't listen.
I'm nervous because I don't know what my next steps will be.
The day is almost here, the one that 43 million student debt holders have been dreading since early 2020. Repayments are beginning again this Sunday, October 1st, after being paused for the last 3.5 years.
I'm dreading it so much. I'm nervous.
Darlia Adams is not shy about her concerns or her financial situation.
Every month, it's hard for us because you're barely making enough with working.
The 27-year-old mother from Birmingham owes $38,000 in federal student loans and just found out her new monthly payment will be around $530 a month. Her monthly paycheck is around $1,500, meaning she'll have little left once she pays the bills and buys groceries.
There's no help, so it's like we're drowning in debt with not only student loans, but everything else, and there's no way to catch up.
The Department of Education estimates 43 million people in this country owe a collective $1.6 trillion in federal student loan debt. Many have not made a student loan payment since March of 2020.
It's been kind of hard for me. I know that I won't be able to afford those payments, so I'm just trying to see what other options I have.
Even with more repayment options, though, Spencer Dixon with the Student Debt Crisis Center says many borrowers are going to struggle with those bills, especially given the role of inflation.
You have borrowers who, have a substantial amount of debt and would struggle and do struggle to pay their monthly payment, and especially aren't used to doing that for the last 3.5 years, aren't used to having to carve out that space in their budget.
As for Darlia Adams, she's taken on a second job just to get by, worried that the changing of the seasons will mean a massive shift in her financial certainty.
We're struggling very bad out here. It's not looking good at all.
Jennifer Hernandez doesn't know where she'll find an additional $650 a month to pay her student loans.
It's frustrating. I do intend to pay my student loans. It's just that the amount was so high. I can't afford that.
The 35-year-old middle school counselor in the Bronx is on an income-driven repayment plan with $91,000 in loans.
Everything that's coming in is either going towards bills.
Hernandez is one of the more than 43 million student loan holders whose payments are now due after President Biden's student debt cancellation plan was struck down by the Supreme Court in June.
62% of people are refusing to pay their student loans.
That's not going to be good for business. That's not going to be good for anybody.
That's right. You heard me. 62% of people are saying,
you know what? When student loans restart, I'm not going
to
pay it.
And I'm thinking to myself, oh, this is not going to end well. We can't pay. A growing wave of student loan borrowers are likely to refuse to resume repayment in October. New survey finds. Here's why many are on the brink of boycott. Like, I have to explain to you why this is a bad deal for your personal finances, why this is a bad deal if you're trying to purchase a home, and just in general, why this will not end well for you. As Joe Biden's stalled student loan forgiveness plan means repayment is set to resume October 1st. A growing number of student loan borrowers are claiming they either cannot or will not pay the debt back. Oh, no. In fact, a new survey from Students, an education research publication, revealed that 62% of respondents said that they are considering boycotting loan payments in the fall, as almost half of them doubt they will be able to afford those payments.
All right, shout outs to my brother, Orlando Minor. If you are not subscribed to Orlando, make sure you subscribe to my brother, Orlando Minor, my personal expert when it comes to real estate. Now, listen, right now, phone lines open. There is a link in the chat. Just click that link. Don't worry about camming up because it's audio only. Call into the show. I want to hear from you guys. What do you think about the evictions going up, student loan payments coming due? Just a few years ago, U.S. citizens had the most savings in history, like just a record amount of money that we had stored up because the government was throwing money at us. What happened to the money? That's my question. What did you do with the money that you got with stimulus, unemployment, maybe even a PPP loan? Where did the money go? Why are people getting evicted? Why are people so afraid of their student loans if you had so much money just a few months ago? All right, let me start bringing people up. I've got Alonzo Hall, my brother. Alonzo, what's going on, brother?
What's going on, JT? How's it going?
Good, man. What do you think about this? Now, you know, me personally, I believe a lot of the grifters got the money. The people who claim that they were going to make you rich, go to their mastermind, go to their seminars, pay for their online courses. I think a lot of money went there, but, you know, maybe I'm missing something.
No, you're absolutely right. That's actually why I called in. Mm-hmm. So my money actually went to courses. But as we know, in our field, those courses are very different. I grabbed the 663 and 65 self-studies from Kaplan. And then I kind of just read them and sat on them and haven't moved forward since, just as regulation. But I think a lot of people had a lot of fun with the money. I'm not gonna lie, my wife and I did enjoy a trip to Miami.
Okay, all right.
But it also happened to fall during a time where my brother was getting married. So it was perfect timing. But either way, we would have had the trip to Miami at that point in time. But yeah, that's it, man. I don't want to take up too much on that.
Hold on. Before you go, because some people may not understand, you are in the financial service industry. The courses that you paid for are not like multiple of thousands of dollars, but these are courses and study materials that actually, when you pass these exams, these are FINRA exams, right? So when he passes these exams, he is now authorized to do more in the financial service industry, meaning that he can actually make more money. It's not like you graduated from recession proof or any other of these courses where they don't mean anything. The stuff that you actually bought, the courses and the materials, will actually make you more qualified to do more and offer more financial products to your clients to make you more money.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, here's my question to you, because you deal with like insurance and other products. What were you seeing from your clients? Did you experience any client that was like, you know what? I can no longer pay my insurance premiums because I either decided to spend money on this or that. Did you see any uptick on canceled policies or anything like that?
Actually, my retention went up, ironically. Mm-hmm. One of the things I was able to do, as you know, I'm a little bit unorthodox. And so with that, I was able to catch people and kind of help them put their money somewhere in an effective manner for a rainy day. Sometimes it was just a 30-year term.
You caught them before they spent the money. Before they had an opportunity to blow the money, you called them, was like, oh, let's take care of this first before they had an opportunity to blow all the money.
Facts.
There we go. My brother. Hey, y'all go check out, man. I be like, people don't even realize I be hanging out with the same people who I started YouTube with. Like, you'll find me on a channel that may have like 5,000, 6,000 subs, and I'm in the chat and I'm on the panel because I still rock with all the same people who started this whole YouTube thing with me. So Lonzo's one of the people who I hang out with. We be at channels and stuff together. Y'all go check out moderators if y'all can. Please put his link to his channel in the chat. Thanks, brother. I appreciate you coming up.
If I could sign off the way I sign off, you know how I do. Wipe the ass, work in progress every day and see success. And when people challenge you, they don't challenge you to challenge you, but they challenge you to challenge you. Accept the challenge. Salute.
My brother, thank you so much. Thank you. All right, we got Debt-Free Dad in the building. Let me bring up my brother, Debt-Free Dad. What's going on?
What's good, brother? How you doing, man?
I'm good. Another YouTube content creator that I like. What's going on, man?
Man, I just had to start jump on and talk about student loans, because the student loan thing is wild with people trying to go on strike like they didn't know what they signed up for. Maybe it's just me, but I remember explicitly when I signed those paperwork what the terms and agreement were. And you know what I'm doing right now? Paying off my student loans. So, you know, I just think it's wild that people tend to seem to want something for nothing, you know. And the way I explained it to people is, if you had a $500 monthly student loan payment in 2018 and 2019 came, the pandemic came, you didn't have to pay that $500. When payments resumed this month, if you have to pay that $500, even if you're making the exact same amount of money, because the inflation is going to be harder because the cost of everything went up. So you're still not going to have that $500 payment that you had back before all of this started.
Mm-hmm. And what makes it worse? Like, this is the thing that like compounds the problem. Not only are you facing inflation, meaning almost everything else that you are already paying for, your necessities, that went up, groceries went up, you know, all of these things went up. Most people, decided to add a new bill in their life that ate up what was ever left of that $500. And they're not in a position where they're going to say, okay, let me now, you know, take another look at my budget. I'm going to try to get, they like, no, I just don't want to pay the student loan. They want to continue the same lifestyle that they've been living for the past 2.5, 3 years. And they just don't want to have to deal with this student loan. You cannot get rid of this thing with bankruptcy. Biden said that he was going to get rid of it for you, and it did not happen. At what point do you wake up and just say, you know what? I got responsibilities. I'm going to have to deal with it. Like, how do you throw like a child, you know, fit and say, I'm protesting this? It doesn't make any sense.
All right. And 2 points before I jump away. First, I got to tell you how the student loan services tried to finesse me, right? So, they tried to get me with the okie doke, JT. So in 2021, my student loan was $109,000. I got it down right now to about $32,000 because I was like, man, we ain't going
to. Uh-oh. You still there?
Mr. Crew. Okay. Then when October came, I looked and I was like, wait a minute. They don't have a payment. I didn't get a statement. I didn't get anything. So, you know, I was like, well, let me call to make sure they still got all my information so I can make my payment. I go online, I send an email, they finally give me a call back. They was like, oh yeah, you don't have a payment, Mr. DFD, because you paid up until 2099. I was like, hell no, I'm not wanna be paid up to 2020. I was like, you know what? Okay, y'all don't gotta generate a statement for me. This is how much interest accrues a month. I'll send this much in to cover the interest plus extra to tackle the principal. So they tried to say I was paid up to 2099. Man, what kind of nonsense is that?
The thing is, most people would have been like, yeah, okay, I'm paid up. Instead of saying, I'm not just paid up. I'm going to continue to attack the debt. I'm going to continue to attack the principal. But yeah, like, cause they still want you to have that interest keep going and going and going. And they will still want you to be in a position where you're going to be paying this thing off for another 10, 15, 20 years when you can just knock it out and get it done in like 5 or 6 years. But yeah, they got games that they play, but I'm not a big believer in being a debt dealer, man. So many people can become billionaires by dealing with debt, and it doesn't work out for most people.
And last thing before I go, man, I got to give a shout out to everybody who got a spouse out there who's supportive and to tell you the right thing, even when you don't want to hear it. Man, I my car got in a wreck. Insurance was cool. They gave me a payout. And I was like, oh, I'm going to stash this money aside. I don't know why I went to go test drive that Tesla. Man, I shouldn't have did that. I went to go test drive the Tesla JT, and then this is me. This is DFD. I make finance content. But right. About 2 or 3 days, I tried to rationalize in my mind why I should get this Tesla. It was uneasy in my house for about 48 hours until Mrs. DFD looked at me and was like, hold on. I thought your plan was to pay off all your student loans. Then once we don't have nothing but a mortgage, you just save up and buy whatever kind of car you want. And I was like, no, she didn't have the audacity to tell me what I told her we was going to do, to use it against me, to be logical. I was upset, but at the end of the day, after a couple of days, I realized that she was giving me the good guy and she had my back. I bought something for cash that I could just drive around and stay focused. But I shouldn't have went to do that test drive, man, because your boy almost got caught up.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Thanks for coming up. Listen, consumerism is a drug. Like, they get you on that car lot, they get you in the store, and they will make you feel as if you need this. Like, I studied marketing in college. I know the ways that these agencies can manipulate you and trick you into believing that you actually deserve, need, and have to have their product, right? To the point where he said he was trying to rationalize going into debt to get this new car when it's something that was against his plan and all that. Why? It's effective. The reason why people in sales make so much money, it's not an easy thing to do. And if you're good at it, they're willing to pay. You just got to say, no, I don't need it. I don't need it. I may want it, but I don't need it. I don't have the money to pay for it. I don't have the money. That's what you got to say. All right, let me bring y'all. Let me see. We got Dennis. We got Angel. We got the lead investor, and we got Steve-O. So let me bring up Dennis. Dennis, what's going on?
Not much, man. What's going on with you?
I'm good, man. So what's going on? Are you in a position? Are you comfortable? You're not about to be evicted, right? You're not worried about your student loans.
Oh no, I'm good. Pretty much, I was gonna say, as far as the stimulus and everything back then when I was in college, I think 2020 and 2021, 2020 and 2021, I was gonna say not only was it stimulus and PPP loans, but unemployment. I saw so many people around me racking up dough. I'm talking about $750 a week. On top of that, some of these people still had jobs because it was low-key scamming. So they were still getting paid their regular check, plus this little $750 on the top. And so what they was doing, some of them bought cars. Some of them went to the Louis store, because in ATL, you go down to Buckhead, you know, Lenox Mall. They trying to ball out. And then you had, you know, just a lot going on. And I just saw, I'm like, because I don't think I filed when I was in college. So I don't think I got it. If I'm not, I don't think I got it. But for the most part, I'm just watching so many people. They even try to encourage me to get on unemployment. And I just said, no, man, it just doesn't make too much sense. So I'm like, what if they come after you? I'm scary. So I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, I don't want to get caught up, you know, with my pants down and, you know, just get caught up arrested or charges brought up and things of that nature. But these people were so comfortable. But it's like they bought things like cars and things of that nature, high APR, you feel me, high interest rates, charges, the whole nine. I mean, they just, you know, scat packs, just doing what they got to do. And now they paying, what is it, like 800, 900, I think at the time, a month. Mm-hmm. And so, like you saying, on top of that, with car insurance going sky high, they got a $900 car note, plus they got to pay back their student loans. Because when I went to Morehouse, I think I dropped out. After that first semester, I only got $40,000, $43,000 worth of debt. All my other peers that I've noticed, 100, 120 and things of that nature. So I'm just like, you got all this scat pack, you know, $900 a month, high insurance, and you're going to have to pay high, you know, as far as your student loans are concerned. So I'm just like, I don't know how they going to do it. I don't know. This time around, there's no PPP loan to save. Nothing to save them. I'm praying for them. But no, man, it's scary. And just, I want to hit on as well, consumerism, man. It's funny. There's always going to be something new and shiny. I understand people wanting to buy things right then and there, but it's like, in like 10 years ago, there was a new Mustang, a new GT or whatever type of car. Mm-hmm. Now there's a new car now. There's always going to be a new car. It's worth the wait. You don't have to get it right now. Me personally, I advocate for people to buy cash cars so you don't have no, you know, payments. Yep. I'm not really for the financing things, because at the end of the day, that just bills that stack up. Mm. And then you look at different businesses as far as, I was telling my friend today, it's funny you have all these businesses that are trying to get into the average American's pocket as far as their monthly income. Because I said, man, there's so many monthly subscriptions. There's even a subscription service to cancel your subscriptions for you. I said, all you got to do is hit cancel on your iPhone. I'm like, you're paying somebody to do work relatively that you can do yourself. It's not hard. I'm just like, are people this lazy? I said, are you paying people to cancel subscriptions that you can cancel yourself? I'm like, if you don't know, you can at least look at your bank statements and track what's coming out your, you know, out your bank account, or at the very least cancel the card if you just don't know. But I just don't know what's going on. I think just people are just, what was your perspective? I'm sorry, I don't mean to ramble.
No. You own it. So these companies, these corporations, small businesses, whatever, they know how to get in your pockets. Absolutely. They understand if they are not in an industry that is a part of your necessities, then they have to dress it up and make it look sexy. One of the biggest tricks that the luxury brands do is that they trick you into believing that your life is void without their products, as if it's a status symbol that actually provides value to your life, right? You have celebrities. Here's another trick. You have celebrities that will be given these luxury items. They give it to them. And then you see these celebrities. They have on the fancy watch. They drive the fancy car. They do all these things to make you feel like, oh, I need it too. But you're unaware that that was something that maybe they got a deal on. Like, I always tell this classic story. Years ago, one of the biggest names in my city, Nelly was at a strip club. And there was a bunch of other people in the strip club. One of them was an NFL player. Nelly has a stack of cash. And Nelly's making it rain. So much so, it became a competition between Nelly and this football player. This football player was like, I'm not about to get outdone. I'm going to throw big cash. Later, he finds out that the strip club gave Nelly most of the money that he was throwing. Now, I'm telling this story off the top of my head. There's more details to this story, but I'm telling it off the top of my head. And the football player was not too happy about this. I believe he requested a refund because he thought it was unfair. He thought he was playing on an even playing field. He thought Nelly was spending his own money, not knowing that Nelly was given a bag to be able to do what he do. And the strip club knew that that was going to create competition.
Absolutely.
In other people's mind. We experience that every day in other ways. That's what hits us. We're fooled into believing that we're in some kind of competition with each other when it comes to material things. We're not. Like, I don't care what it is. I know people who make way less money than me and have way more material stuff. But most of that stuff has debt with it. And for the most part, other than my mortgage, I'm debt free. And I can make my mortgage in one day of work, right?
Absolutely.
But it's about being intentional about the things that you really value.
Absolutely, man. These businesses, I tell my friend this, I was like, man, just like how a casino, the house always wins, the businesses end up always winning. I told my friend, I said, what's the difference between, like, we go to a casino and what's the difference between a broke gambler and a rich gambler? He was like, I think the broke gambler got something more to lose. I said, both of them are losing their money. I said, the casino is winning. I said, regardless, I remember I saw one dude in particular. He made $12,000 a month. I think it was a white dude, if I'm not mistaken, at the Hard Rock Hotel here in Tampa, Florida. This dude literally went in there. I think he paid all his bills. I think his bills were like $3,000 or $4,000. He had $7,000 left cash flow. So I meet him in there. He's basically like, man, I'm about to, I always come here. I win good money. So we went to eat because there was, I think, the sugar factory in there. Me and my wife and some of my friends. Then afterwards, after dinner, we're going to the parking lot. We know we're going home. Literally, I see him in the parking lot, leaned over his car, slumped over, you know, a little sad. I said, bro, what's going on? We big money. He said, I lost all my $7,000. I said, God. So I ain't had nothing to give him. So I said, man, why'd you gamble all of it? He just said, man, I was on the winning streak, man. I thought. I said, man, and he had money from his perspective. He had money to burn. I didn't. So I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, you had more money, but you still lost it all. So even though people say, you know, what they say, it's scared money don't make no money. Well, he lost all his money.
Yeah. That's what they'll tell you that all the time. Scared money don't make no money. Man. Yeah, but unafraid money, fearless money loses a lot.
Absolutely. Right?
I'd rather be a little scared thinking about the potential scam or the loss of the money than be fearless and broke.
Absolutely.
All right, Dennis, man, my brother, thank you so much for coming.
Hey, man, I appreciate it.
All right, we're going to get through these calls. We got Angel, the lead investor, Steve-O, and Craig. Let me bring up Angel. Angel, you're live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. What's going on?
Hey, everybody. Can you hear me? This is my first time.
Yes, ma'am. Loud and clear.
Okay. Hey, JT. I've been watching your show for a minute now, and I actually like it. It's interesting. But my perspective. I'm sorry. What you said?
Yeah, go right here. Your perspective is what?
Okay. I would say my perspective on what's going on is just like what the guy before said. Everybody who was getting PPP loans and unemployment, they honestly wasted it. Because I live here in Florida, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember I went down to Miami one day. And it was, I think it's the fashion district of Miami. And, you know, they got all the name brand stores. They got Gucci, Burberry, Louis Vuitton, Off-White, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I have never seen so many Black people shopping. When I was like, I said, hold on. Where y'all getting money from? Because this is crazy. Like, I've never seen it so packed like that. Like, lines wrapped it around the building for certain stores. And I'm like, what? So I honestly feel like that's where their money is going. Mm-hmm. And now everybody's broke. They don't have it. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
It's the need, the stunt on the haters. You got to stunt on the haters. You have to show off the drip. You got to show that you are doing so well. In reality, they're probably not.
And they're not.
Yeah. The reality is most people are living a paycheck to paycheck broke life because they are trying to act as if they're rich, right? The think about the tragedy in that. The tragedy is they could probably live a decent, comfortable, somewhat middle-class life if they actually spent their money on the things that they say that they value. But instead of living for their family, like I remember years ago, there was this big campaign of family over everything and trying to really talk about the things that people should value. But I always tell people, you know, as a financial advisor, show me a man's bank statement and I can tell you what he values. A man or woman, you spend money on things that you value.
Exactly. And exactly.
I can see fancy clothes, fancy cars, all of this stuff, but you live paycheck to paycheck. You have no retirement plan. You're most likely renting, right? Those, you're not really spending the money on this family or the values that you claim. You're spending money in ways to try to impress people who don't even care about you. Exactly. Because I can tell you right now,
The
people who are facing evictions, the people who are having problems with their student loans, all the people who they were trying to impress by going to the fancy luxury clothing, they're not helping you. So if they're not going to help you, why are you trying to influence
be
them
like
to
them.
Like you or to be impressed by you? They're not helping you.
Exactly. Because you see, I got the same thing because I had my business back during the COVID time. So I was eligible for a PPP and I got that. I'm not gonna lie, I got it. But listen,
if you were eligible for it, you should have got.
Yeah. So I invested my money, right? Invested it. I did a good investment, I'm not gonna lie. And I haven't had to work for the past two going on 3 years. I had my babies. I had two babies back to back. So I couldn't really work. So right. I've literally been living off of my investments. I don't buy fancy clothes. I just make sure my rent is paid. The kids have what they need. You know, I don't see why people have to live this high lifestyle. You just need to be comfortable. Make sure your kids are okay.
No, that's a great point. That's a great point. I appreciate you calling in, Angel. Thank you so much. All right, here we go. We're going to get through these calls. We got the lead investor, Steve-O, Craig, and a name that I cannot pronounce, but it starts with an N. You know who you are. Here we go. The lead investor. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing, JT?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for calling in.
Oh yeah, man, this is another good one. I've been waiting on this one. I always like these old saying from my ancestors, but there was one that's called stupid is and stupid does. Now, some people may not like that or agree with it, and I understand, but let me ask you this, JT. Have you heard the new thing that's going around with some of these financial gurus or influencers? And I've been hearing this term, and they're calling it financial trauma.
No. Elaborate. What are they calling financial trauma?
So, one of your boys, I'm not going to call him your boy, Boyce Watkins talks about this. He actually has a financial therapy department at his black business school. And I know Wall Street Trapper, he also talks about financial trauma. And I'm still trying to figure out what's financial trauma among African-American people. I know we have trauma from other things, but I don't understand what financial trauma. So maybe this is what financial trauma is. Because I'm looking at it like this, JT. I'm currently still renting. But if you tell me I didn't have to pay rent for 3 years. Now, this is me personally.
Right.
I would be so far ahead, it would be ridiculous. That's just me. See what I'm saying? So a lot of people say you should feel sorry for these people. They're going to get evicted. Well, how can I feel sorry for you when you've been living for free for over 3 years? I can't feel sorry for you. Now I am not a heartless person, because there are some circumstances, you know, where a person just couldn't pay their rent. So I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the people.
Talk about the other people. Talk about the people who were stunting on us. Talk about the people who was doing the money phone. The people who said, once again, they called us scared money. Scared money don't make no money. We were too scared to get a PPP loan. We were too scared to get unemployment checks when you weren't really unemployed. We were too scared to do all the hustles that they did. And now, all of a sudden, they're the victims.
That's right. And I'm like the other caller, the gentleman that called right before. I'm scary. I'm not going to jail for a couple of thousand dollars. I'm not doing it. People were coming up with these little scams. I'm like, nah, I'm good, man. It's not that serious, because I value my freedom. And I don't want the IRS, the federal government, none of them on my back. So, you know, that's just one thing. The second part, when you were talking about the student loans, the biggest thing I want to ask from some people is, you have $80,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 worth of student loans. What type of degree did you get? That's my biggest question.
I always ask that question. In the video that I played, there was a segment where there was a woman, I think she was like in the New York area. She had like $80,000, and I believe she was a counselor like in a middle school. And I'm like, $80,000, you can get a decent MBA / maybe even a JD, maybe not at a top tier school, but that's like, that's big money. To me, $80,000, that's more than a bachelor's degree. $80,000, you should have a professional degree along with your undergrad, and you should be making, bare minimum, you should be making between $80,000 to $100,000 a year. But $80,000 for an entry level, I mean, $80,000 for a student loan debt, and you're not making $100,000 a year based off that education, I don't know, what are you doing, man? I have no idea why you do that. It's crazy.
And you're right, JT. And I think a lot of us, especially in the African American community, some of us are first generation college graduates, and they're so excited. And I'm not knocking on one that wants to go get their education. Man, I am behind you 100%. But you don't want to come out with so much debt, because if the degree you got, there's not a big job market for it. And I was on Indeed maybe a couple of years ago, just looking around. And JT, they were paying people. This is probably right before the pandemic. They were paying people starting salaries like $15. And I'm in California now, So you know it's expensive. They were paying people $15 to $18 an hour, and they wanted you to have a bachelor's degree. I'm like, are you kidding? You're going to pay me $15 to $18, and you want me to have a, let's say, a $30,000 bachelor's degree? Come on, man. So I think what we have to do is for our younger people, or maybe some of our older people who want to go to school, is you just have to look around a little bit more and you know, maybe not try to finance everything, maybe try to, you know, pay a little bit, you know. And I don't encourage, I'm with you 100%, because I saw your post the other day about these $4,000 to $5,000, and I'm using air quotes here. Like, nah, man, go to an accredited school, not right. Like old boy you had on here a couple of months ago, African guy. That was hilarious. I watched that episode three times. No, don't do that. Get something where you can get, like you said, where you can go out and you can make a living. That's my encouragement to us. You know what I mean? What happened to trade schools and things like that? People don't want to do that. I was reading, they need electricians. They need so many, you know, I think they said plumbers. I'm like, what's wrong with the, I mean, I'm a more of an administrative guy, so that's not what I like to do. But I'm just saying, those are really high paying careers. And I think we need to go, you know, go more for that. And so, because those guys can make a lot of money.
Great point. I can tell you what the issue is based on my point of view. I can tell you why a lot of people, at least young guys, or even older guys who are 45 or whatever, I can tell you why they do not want to go into the trades. See, there's a big lie, right? There's a big lie. And thank you for calling in, because I'm about to go on a rant for you for a second. There's a big lie in our community. A lot of the work that I do, I've had certain people, I'm not going to call them trolls, because they're saying this honestly from their heart. To me, a troll is someone, they don't honestly believe the negative comment that they're making. They just want to make a negative comment. But a person who honestly believes in what they're saying, I really don't consider them a troll. They're just someone who either they don't see eye to eye with my point of view, which is fine. But there was people very early in the stages of pocket watching with JT. There would be people who would say, why am I hating on the way another man makes his money, right? They would make a statement like that. Like, stop talking about how he makes his money. The way he makes his money is good for him. He's not hurting you, right? Now, remember, we're talking about grifters and scammers and people who are instructing others how to commit fraud. But they would come and say, listen, you need to just pay attention to what you do. Don't worry about what other people do and the way that they make money. That's a lie. Our culture, right? Black culture, talking about hip hop culture, not real culture of black community, but the hip hop culture. We don't really value independence and allowing a person to do whatever that they need to do to earn a living. We just say that to shield criminals. We'll say that to shield and protect people who are grifters, scammers, or whatever. Because our culture, hip hop culture, is quick to shame a hard working man or woman. See, if you work a 9-to-5, if you are a janitor, or you are a plumber, or you are a carpenter, someone who works with your hands, you get a little dirty on your job. It's okay. If you're someone who actually puts pride in your work and you have some sort of trade skill, you don't get a lot of shine and opportunity and credit in our community. They don't care about that, right? They'll say that you are lame. They'll say that you have no drip. You know, they will make you feel ashamed of actually working a real job or having a real career in trade. And the reason why we don't have a lot of our younger people going into the trades is because we are perpetuating in the culture, we're perpetuating celebrities, and the lifestyle of a celebrity should be the lifestyle of everybody. Think about this for a second. the lifestyle of a P. Diddy, the lifestyle of a Jay-Z, the lifestyle of anyone who you name that you believe is a superstar. That is not the lifestyle for you. Not that you're unworthy of it. Not that, you know, they're more special than you. The fact is, the lifestyle that they live, for the most part, most of them are faking it. Right? Most of them are faking it. It's not even real for them, for one. And for two, you are supposed to, in my point of view, you're supposed to have a life that provides values to others, right? You can do for others, meaning you have some sort of skill set that you can help other people in some way, shape, or form. I feel like hip hop culture is all about what you can have and what you can do and how you can shine and how you can have a spotlight on you. But I tell you something about this spotlight, baby. This spotlight gets way too hot for way too many people. There are times when you don't want to be known. There are times where you don't want people to think you are rich. Like, that's not even something, that's not something that a logical person should want. And whenever you see someone or groups of people who are trying to uplift and make celebrityism, to make some kind of stage, as if everyone has to be on some sort of materialistic hunt for jewelry, fancy cars, and always stunning and showing off. Look what I got. Look what all of this stuff, diamonds in my ear, all of this, it's really just to compensate for the fact that they really do feel empty inside. There's no amount of money, no amount of fancy cars, big homes that can fill the void that they actually have in their life. If they're constantly bragging about the things that they have, are they constantly bragging about, I'm the best ever to do, no one's better than me yet? That's the weakest person in the world, is the one that has to constantly explain that they're the biggest ever to do this. Or I'm the best to ever. That means you're not. Because when you really are the best, you're not the one that has to say it. Other people say it about you. That's my two cents. Let me bring up Steve-O. Steve-O, you're live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. What's going on?
JT, can you hear me? Can you hear me, JT?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go right ahead.
Okay. So yes, I want to know, I'm in sunny California. The sun's going down and I'm in the backyard getting ready to make dinner. I want to know what these people did with their rent. If I had 3 years not to pay rent, we don't have any debt already. I can't wait till all the Dodge Chargers and Hellcats get the hell up out my neighborhood so I can sleep all night. I'm tired of sideshows. What did these people do with their money? And if I didn't pay rent for 3 years, I should be out of debt. Explain that to me like I'm 3 years old.
Oh, man. See. It's hard because now I have to explain something that is insane, right? It's like trying to explain the behavior of a crackhead, right? Trying to explain the behavior of a crackhead. See, a person who's not on crack, they don't understand the irrational behavior of someone who's on crack. Now,
correct.
The crackhead can explain why they did what they did, but a person who's not on crack has no idea. But here are my observations. You have a community that values materialism. You have a community that thinks that competition and wealth means something, right? If my neighbor gets a new car, I have to get a new car. If my coworker has a new watch, I have to buy a new watch because I don't want them to believe that they're doing better than me. And once again, that points to a psychological problem, to where a person will actually hurt themselves financially for no other reason than to appear like they're doing well. That's insane. It's a psychological problem. People who do this, people who feel as if the material things in their life actually qualifies them as some kind of superstar or qualifies them as being worthy, they'll never be able to fulfill that void. They never will. That's why a lot of the Dodge Chargers and Challengers and Hellcats, that there's going to be a whole lot of repos. There already are. Repo after repo after repo. My thing is this. If you can take something away from me that will make me feel as if I'm less, I don't want that thing. I don't want something that someone else has the ability to take away from me and all of a sudden I feel less. So here's a quick middle school story. I was born in the 80s, right? So I grew up in the 90s. There was a time where everybody had a custom-made hat. When you would go to the mall, and you wouldn't just buy a hat, but you'll buy a hat and your name would be stitched on the hat. I had at least 5 hats that had JT on it, right? It would have St. Louis Cardinals or St. Louis Rams, but it would be JT on it. And I would have an outfit that matched my hat. Here's the problem. Most places do not allow you to wear a hat.
Correct.
Couldn't wear a hat in school. Remember, I'm in middle school. Couldn't wear a hat in school. Couldn't wear a hat at the skating rink clubs, right? Because the skating rink was like a club for people in middle school. And there was just so many places where you couldn't wear the hat. So I would be, you know, what I'm thinking, in a great outfit. I got my Rams jersey on, everything with the hat. And they would be like, no, you got to take the hat off.
To the point where
I would be in a place feeling like, I wish I had my hat. Like really, it sounds so dumb for me to say it out loud. I would
be literally JT, because I remember that time.
I'm at the skating rink, and I still look decent, but I don't have my hat. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, damn, man, I wish I had my hat. I wish they let me wear my hat. To the point where I was like, man, I don't even want to wear these hats no more. If it makes me feel like I'm less because I don't have it, I became dependent on it. It's such a weird old thing to say.
It's like your superpower.
Yeah, it's like
if your superpower. Someone can
take it away from you and all of a sudden now you don't feel like you. Like, I've never smoked. Right, but I've seen people who get that little itch, like, oh, it's time for me to go smoke. I be thinking to myself, why are you doing that to yourself? You're letting that little cigarette control you. Like, you're at the point where that little cigarette is keeping you from feeling like you don't feel like you until you get that cigarette in your hand. I couldn't do that. And I feel like that's the way people feel about their material things, the way they feel about their car, the way they feel about their home. All of these things that, in the grand scheme, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. It doesn't matter.
And JT, if I may add, the sexiest thing I own, cash in the bank. It gives you such a security. I know if I didn't get paid for 6 to 12 months, me and my wife are going to be all right.
Fine.
It is the sexiest thing I own. And we both feel the same way about money. We have a special car in the garage, but my everyday car is a 2005 Lexus RX. I love that thing to death. I'll leave that car in any ghetto because I don't think about it. The Corvette, I'm concerned about. But, and that's more of a, I'm in a Corvette club. That's a club thing.
So right. In a sense, I feel it's like my membership due. And I called you and asked you for advice a couple of weeks ago. What should I pay out first, the car or lean into the house? And you're like, lean into the car first. And that's more you can throw at the house. So I appreciate your advice. But yeah, I'm always like, I don't think a Gucci belt buckle is going to change anything in my life. Oh, I might have dropped. I can see you're loading up. One of us dropped.
Okay, you there?
Unstable internet connection. But JT, it's
going in and out. But I will say this. I appreciate it. Yeah, I don't understand what I've seen guys and girls with a Gucci belt on, but like dirty socks and dirty jeans. Like those things don't go together. Like you either saved up money or you bought a off-brand, Gucci belt or whatever. You did all of this, but you're wearing the Gucci belt with a pair of dirty jeans. It doesn't make sense. Like you gotta stop. All right, we got three more callers. And we're gonna wrap this thing up. We got Craig, Nikki, and D. Let me get Craig on the line. Craig, how you doing?
I am good, JT. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Where do you think all this money went? Because based on the Federal Reserve, they said that U.S. citizens had the most amount of money in savings during the first about year and a half during COVID. Now we have less than we did before the pandemic.
I mean, I feel like it's kind of like what you were referring to before with like the income and lifestyle just creeping with it. Because in the pandemic, like I got student loans, they went on pause, but I didn't really use it as appropriately as I should have. And so now they're restarting, thankfully though, like I feel like I'm in a real blessed position though, because I've been able to get kind of multiple raises at my job. So okay. I'm going to be debt free in like 2.5 years. And that's all that's except like our mortgage. So I feel like, but at the same time, like, for a long time, I've been feeling like we're like black unicorns, like in the neighborhood that we live in, because a lot of folks, even before the, inflation hit, we were just able to just, get a home. And a lot of my peers just haven't been able to be in the same position. Now it's even harder, So I feel like, I could have used it better, but I'm going to be all right. But I feel like a lot of it just went towards, kind of lifestyle creep. I feel like some people, probably spend it responsibly, probably don't pay down some debts, but $2,000 versus, like a $10,000 credit card debt's what, over $1 trillion now for the first time ever. So yeah. Even if you put it towards whatever credit card you had then 3 years ago, I mean, it's probably gone now.
Right.
And one thing I want to mention is that because, I went to college, it worked out for me. Mm-hmm. Worked out for me and my wife, but it's scary to think that like 50% of people like don't even graduate college and can still have that debt. And it's hard enough as it is just having a degree that's worth money. Because I don't think a lot of people these days like understand like the kind of pressure it was back, because I'm an 80s baby. But I don't think people understand, like, it was like either you went to college or you were like a failure, nobody was thinking about like, oh, yeah, they're thinking, yeah, you could be a good job doing electrician. It's like, you stupid idiot, I feel like it was.
And we can't forget about Everest College and those commercials. Those Everest College ITT Tech. They would make you feel like you are worthless.
What are you doing with your time? Get off the couch.
Like, what are you doing? You're just sitting on the couch.
Right now. Like, man. That thing was legit. And it's the same amount of pressure. And I feel like, definitely watching your show and like now I'm getting into more financial advice, just like I feel like, okay, yeah, I gotta be real with myself, have some hard conversation with myself, how I could be spending my money wisely, and at the same time, I feel like in this conversation, especially with student loan debt, I can't talk to people that ain't paying the rent, because that doesn't make no damn sense to me, because you're going to get evicted eventually. Like, it's going to happen. But like with the student loan stuff, like I just feel like, like college should be free. Like we live in the richest country on the face of the planet. You got billionaires getting tax refunds. The government's paying Jeff Bezos to be a billionaire.
Right.
And we sitting here dropping 40 grand to get a degree that gets us a $15 like an hour job. Like it's insane. So I mean, I feel like yeah, you know, there's personal responsibility with it, but but this system is set up so that we fail and that we fail in debt for the rest of our lives to it. And
there's a lot, you know, I would say this. There are a lot of traps when you live in a capitalistic society. There are a lot of traps and things that you can get caught up and you can get convinced that spending your money one way makes sense. And then years later, you realize you kind of got, right? I remember when I was in high school, I went to what was referred to, at least in our state, I don't know about other states, it was referred to as a Gold Star high school. And a Gold Star high school in the state of Missouri basically meant that, I mean, among other things, but one of the things that it qualified you for is that if you graduated from that high school, you had an opportunity to go to the junior college system in this state, and they would pay for your 2 years and get your associate's degree. There's certain things that you had to do to qualify, but if you went to a Gold Star school, you could get your first 2 years of college, get an associate's degree for free. Now, I can't tell you very many of my peers that took advantage of it. I just can't. I was going through the qualifications to do it myself until I was offered a scholarship and I ended up not going to it, right? But there are opportunities out there, but where there's opportunities, there's also competition. And you can get confused by, oh, it makes sense. Because I got a lot of friends I went to high school that didn't finish college, but they could have qualified to get at least 2 years for free at a junior college and at least have associate's degree, which would make, if they wanted to keep going on, which would make it's the easy. Last years cheaper.
Yeah. You're in college then. Like you already got in. You only have to apply. Yeah. Like you in.
The last two, they could transfer to a four-year institution and they would be paying way less than what they ended up paying. But I know people who dropped out or got kicked out like senior year, like ridiculous. I have a friend. Believe me, I have a friend who has about $90,000 in student loan debt and never finished school. This is real. It happens. And all I can say is, listen, before you sign on the dotted line, before you jump off the cliff, you really got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, does this make sense? Am I going to a school because of the name of the school, because it's a party school? Or could I do a little better if I went to a JUCO and took my time?
Yeah.
All right, Craig, man. Yeah. I appreciate you calling in. And I'm going to wrap this thing up. I got two more callers, and I'm going to get out of here. I got Nikki, and I got D. So let me bring up Nikki. Nikki, you're live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. What's going on?
Hey, JT, you can hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
So first and foremost, I think you're a hero to the Black community. Thank you for all the effort that you put in to just put us on to all of this enlightenment and all of this financial knowledge. You gave me and my husband a consultation a couple of weeks ago, and we thank you for the gems that you dropped in those little 10 minutes. You give like just the most information in like the littlest amount of time. Anyway, let me jump into my point. So I have a friend, she's like a travel partner, like a sister to me. She actually got, I think, caught up in LLC Twitter. Like I'm not a social media person, but she was a nurse and she actually got on unemployment actually during a pandemic because she got sick herself and she struggled to get back on her feet. So they just put her on unemployment, or I guess gave her a nice severance. And luckily for her, she's engaged. She was living with her fiance, and so she didn't have to worry about her living expenses. So whatever she was collecting was just hers. She got caught up, and I'm not on social media, so she's telling me about like getting her LLC, starting to sell here, and I'm not like I don't I kind of feel like when you're in a business, you want to sell something that's sustainable and something that's unique. So if you're selling something that's like just feeding into consumerism, it won't really be sustainable, in my opinion. But I feel like she just got caught up with what social media was feeding at the time. So she got her LLC, started selling hair. And the thing that people don't consider is loss or risk that happens. Mm-hmm. So people claiming they didn't get their hair, didn't get their packages. She's shelling out $300, $400 at a time, $500 at a time in refunds. And she's now, or she ended up now being in over her head. It ended up affecting her relationship a little bit, but they're still together, thank God. We even went to Africa at the beginning of this year. When I got, when we got back at the end of February, around March, April, she asked me to borrow a good bit of money to get back out of the hole. So luckily, because like I said, she's a sister to me, I gave it to her. She was able to pay me back like back in August. So it seems like she's getting back on her feet. But she got caught up in that, oh, I'm going to take my money, get this LLC, start this business. And she really like has nothing to show for it right now. I did tell her I was going to call in and talk shit about her. But I did want to make this last point as well. Consumerism is eating us alive. Like, I don't know if you're hearing about this Temu stuff and everybody that are thinking that they're, you know, saving a dime or something because they're buying shit that they don't need, you know? So it's just like, really consider what you're putting your money towards and really hold on to your money. And it feels better when you don't spend money on the crap that you don't need, because you're either going to throw it away or give it to somebody. You may feel better because you're donating it, but you still did not need to spend your money on that in the first place. Right. That's all I got to say.
Oh, Nikki, thank you so much. I appreciate it. That's a great point, man. I forgot for a moment about LLC Twitter. I remember distinctively people DMing me and emailing me or whatever these posts about these 1, 2, 3 steps of generational wealth. And step one was almost always get your LLC. Like before having a business idea, whatever, first you get your LLC. After you get your LLC, you can then go to a bank and get business funding. You can get a brand new LLC. You can get $50,000 worth of business funding from a Navy Federal. Then you take that money, and I was sitting there like, what the hell are these people talking about? Like, one, business is competitive. Let me be clear. Business is a contact sport. You have to have a degree of grit and grind to be successful in business. I tell people all the time, the personal characteristic traits that I have that leads to my limited success. I'm not balling out of control, but I'm somewhat successful in my career field. The traits that make me successful as a businessman makes me an asshole in real life. I'm overly competitive. Overly competitive in a way where I will not allow my nephew, who is under the age of 10, to beat me at tic-tac-toe. Just can't let it happen. Can't let it happen. I'm overly competitive. I'm a person that will stay up late at night researching my competition or trying to get a new skill set. Like, I'm obsessive. I'm compulsive. There's things about my personality as a friend, as a family member, does not make me the most likable person. But they translate very well as a business owner. What I'm trying to say is that being a business owner is not always what they try to make it appear to be. You make a lot of sacrifices personally when you are a business owner. It's extremely competitive. It's not for everyone. I have many clients who have reached the millionaire status who are not business owners. I have many clients, once again, who have reached the millionaire status with a W-2 career. And I also know a lot of broke people who claim that they're a CEO of their LLC that consistently brings in negative dollars, that consistently have losses, that when they reach the age of 62 or 65, they probably will only have like $800 a month coming to them in Social Security because they were never able to pay into Social Security because they were a boss, not a B-O-S-S, boss. They was a boss with the W, you know, they was a boss. And now, you know, they're living a broke life. So it's not what y'all think it is. It really isn't. It's not as sexy as they try to make it look. It's a particular skill set where you can be really good at it. But if you got a good career, you can roll with that. It's not that big of a deal. All right, last call of the night. I got D. You are live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. What's going on?
How's it going, JT? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Yeah, JT, I just want to, first of all, thank you for everything you're doing for the community, man. You speak nothing but facts, and a lot of people perceive it as hate. But as another individual like yourself that just gets straight to the nitty gritty, no BS, I can recognize what you're doing. Nothing that you say is really false. You actually back it up with, hey, this is how actual things work, right? So I just want to say that. But yeah, man, this stuff, I'm a younger man myself. I'm in my 20s, my young 20s, and man, this society is backwards, man. You get on Instagram and you see the people flexing the Lambos and the Gucci belts and all this stuff, man, and those be the brokest people, like you said. You know, you seen people, like you said, you know, that act like they got money on TV, whatever, and you actually do their books and they hurting, you know what I'm saying? So it's crazy, man. And I'm the type of person that I actually take pride in, hey, I could do what you do with less, you know what I'm saying? It's just kind of like that mentality, like, oh, you're doing that with all that, but I'm doing the same thing with less. Like, I take pride in that, me personally, you know what I'm saying? It's just crazy out here. Everything is backwards. And the real millionaires, if you really see a millionaire on the street, you would never know. You know, they just got a decent shirt. They got it tucked in. They don't got no Jordans on. They don't got no crazy whatever. And they have millions in the bank. So it's all backwards. This perception of who got money, man, it's all just sickening. It really is, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, hey, we live in a society that you're weird if you don't worship celebrities. Let's think about that for a second, right? Celebrities, to me, right? And now I'm going way left, so just follow me for a second. I appreciate celebrities in the sense of I like their talent. When I watch a basketball game, like I watch LeBron James, he's one of the greatest athletes that I've seen, and I've been through a lot of different eras when it comes to the NBA. When I watch a movie and I see like a Denzel Washington or I see a Dave Chappelle do comp, like I respect what they do as their skill set, right?
Yeah, the craft.
But here's the thing that I want people to think about. I always think about like in the storybook, when you have like kings and queens and stuff in the storybooks, entertainers were like the court gestures, right? You never saw a king, a queen, a duke, a duchess, or whatever. You never saw them worshiping the court jester. The court jester, they're there to entertain you, to give you a break or feel as if, hey, I had a hard day at work and I want a few moments to enjoy some form of entertainment. But in reality, the celebrities need us. We don't need them. Think about the power dynamic there. The reason why they make so much money is because we actually have the real jobs and careers that create value in the world. And our jobs and careers are real grind work. And we reward them in a sense of Entertain me for a few hours. Entertain me while I go watch this movie. Entertain me while I watch this football game. I respect what they do, but remember, they are a function of a distraction from your everyday life. They don't mean more than you. They need us. Like that's just how I see it. Like, if you actually meet some of these celebrities, and, you know, based on my career, I've been able to be around some very famous people. Listen, when they say, do not meet your heroes because you will be disappointed, they're regular people with regular bad habits, with regular attitudes and all of that. If you meet them in real life and you hang out around them, you may be surprised. Now, there's some people who are exactly who you see them on TV, but for the majority of them, they're not. They're not supposed to be. They're actors. They're a basketball player. You create an image in your mind of who these people are based on the few interactions that you have with their content. And you think that they are something. They're just like us. They just have a different skill set that allows them to make money. That's it. We got to get out of the mindset of celebrities are more than the people who actually fund them, right? Like, when you see these people who protest the police and they be like, I pay your salary. Like, they get in the cop's face. Pay your salary. Like, man, like, and they're, dumb, like, yeah. they're like disrespectful with it. But in my mind, man, that's the way I feel about celebrities. Like you're on because of me. If I don't buy that ticket to watch the NBA game, if I don't buy that ticket to see the, like, you, I pay your salary. Like, you're not better than me. You just have a different skill set. That's it. And I think if we understand that, I remember that there's a clip on YouTube where you have Malcolm X talking about how it's a shame that in the Black community, our actors, our comedians, our athletes are viewed as our leaders. They're not. They're not our leaders. They're just entertainers, which is cool. I'm just a financial advisor. I'm not special. We're all really on the same level based on the value that we provide in our life to the people who we love, whatever. That's what it is. The second we get out of the mindset that we have to have all these fancy things to live a comfortable life or to have value, I think we can move on. But you got people who perpetuate the concept of you're a celebrity. You yourself, you need to have a celebrity type of lifestyle. It's all BS to me. In my humble opinion, y'all, it's all BS. It's all a distraction. It's all a way to try to get in your pockets. If they say, look at this rapper and the outfit he has, you also need to have that outfit. You see the jewelry that they have, you also need to have that jewelry. That's BS. You do not need it. And most of them go broke from doing that too.
So it was kind of like what you were saying last week about, should a kid have Jordans if they're getting free lunch? You know what I'm saying? It's just people's priorities are just messed up. It's sick. But hey, JT, I'm gonna let you go. Thank you for all that you do, and I'm gonna definitely be looking forward for the next shows.
All right, my brother, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Let me give a shout out to everyone who did a super chat. Let me give a shout out. We got Randy K in the building. Thank you so much. Says greetings, Mr. JT. Thank you again for our coaching call a few months ago. I paid off my entire student loan. Randy, there we go. That's what I like to see. Shouts out to you. Listen, that's what I want to see. You paid off your entire student loan. Thank you, Randy. That's what needs to be done. We got DP in the building. Shouts out. Thank you. I appreciate it. We've got Jay Renard Leather says, if the U.S. college system is so ineffective, why keep throwing money into it for non-in-demand degrees? Might as well join Herbalife University or EYL College for business. It's just as useful. This is a good point. let me touch on this for a second. This is a good point. I think people get somewhat confused. There are college programs that are not meant to be a career field for the average person. Give me a few minutes to better explain. There are majors, right? Fields of study that you can get a degree in that was never meant for you to go through that program and then earn a living wage. There are certain things that you study that are only for the pursuit of knowledge. Let me tell you guys a story, right? It's not 100% factual, but it's a story to better explain the college system that we're in. Let's say when the college system in the U.S. first started, it was geared towards getting people career skill sets so that they can, you know, provide for their families. Then there became these ultra-rich families. And these ultra-rich families would have certain students or certain kids who did not need to go to college to earn a living. These kids wanted to go to college for the experience, and they had the money to pay for an experience. They didn't want to go to college to become a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, or go to any trade school. They wanted to go to college so that they could join a fraternity or sorority. They wanted to go to college to have fun. They did not need to go to college for a living to then become a professional. So all of a sudden, these different fields of study pop up. Underwater basket weaving, right? Interdimensional studies of alien sex, whatever it is. That's not for you. You first generation college student, a person who is grinding and trying to create a life for yourself. You're not supposed to study this stuff, graduate, and then be able to earn a living to support your family. That's not what those majors were for. Those majors are for the pursuit of knowledge of people who just want to go to school for the experience. If you actually go to a school and study a field that actually is going to produce an income for yourself that will allow you to live a middle-class lifestyle, you'll be fine. But if you go to school for underwater basket weaving, if you go to school to do your thesis on Game Boy, it's going to be a waste of time. It's absolutely going to be a waste of time. All right. And we got Jay again says, I'm a leather worker. I promise you, the material in a Gucci belt is less than $25 and takes under 1 hour to make. Don't spend $300+ on them. It's a status symbol. That's all it is. It's a status symbol, but it's a fake status symbol. Most of the people that you see in our community who's wearing a $300+ Gucci belt, they don't actually have the wealth that supports being able to have that belt. Once again, it's a Gucci belt that is laced in a pair of dirty blue jeans, right? I bet you if you roll down the cuff in their jeans, they probably got grass and some dirt in those jeans. Bet money. It's insane. It's an irrational relationship with money. An irrational relationship with money is like having an abusive relationship with your partner. You don't even understand that this relationship is destructive. You can't even get away from it because you believe their abusive behavior is just the way that they show love. That's the way that most people who live a lifestyle like this have a relationship with money. They don't even understand that their spending habits, the way that they're using the very limited money that they have. They don't even understand that that is a part of the destruction of their financial life. Simply the way that they're spending and using their money. It's sad. It's sad. I wish I had the answer. I wish I had the magic wand to fix the community. Now, I can work with you one-on-one. I can help an individual do better financially, but as far as the community, nah, there's other people who can do that. That's not for Pocket Watching with JT. But listen, guys, I'm going to get up out of here. I appreciate y'all. I'll be back next week. The Pocket Watcher is out, but I'm going to leave y'all with Mo Money Taxes.
Hi, I'm Mike Evans with Mo Money. Tell me, what do you know about Mo Money?
Brother, all I know is I was here last night getting my taxes done, and today, there's Mo Money all the way. You know what I'm saying?
And how about you?
In here yesterday, back today to get my check. This Mo Money stuff is real. I'm Mo Money for life.
Out of slow money? Well, come to Mo Money, because we about that.
Mo Money Taxes, and once again, it's on. And I got the hookup.
Mo Money Taxes. Come down and see us, and you'll be glad that you did.
At Mo Money Taxes, you're more than just another number. This year, we're offering our 32nd refunds to go along with our next day refunds. Come down and see us, and you'll be glad that you did.
Continuing saga of Mo Money Taxes. Norfolk police are investigating the tax preparer, and they have alerted the IRS about customers' complaints.
Where's my check?
That's the question all of these people want answered.
The IRS is basically verifying to us that our money is here in their bank account.
Friday, crowds gathered at Mo Money Taxes in Norfolk. On Granby Street, owner Mario Brady told us he printed 50 checks and 30 did not clear.
The banks have refused to cash their checks, saying that there is fake. I mean, that is unacceptable.
Federal agents raided the headquarters of Mo Money Taxes in Tennessee this morning.
You may remember 10 on Your Side traveled to Memphis for local Mo Money customers who claimed they didn't receive their refund. We continue to follow another developing story. New tonight, tensions continue to run high as customers wait for their tax returns that they say were not getting from Mo Money Taxes. You can see the level of anger just a few hours ago at this Norfolk location off Brambleton. Angry customers who say they were promised refund checks and didn't get them broke windows, and police were called to break up the angry crowd.
That's just ridiculous.
Marcus Eves, a former customer who says he filed his taxes with Mo Money in 2007, is worried about what we recently uncovered behind this Mo Money Tax Services location on Elvis Presley.
This is wrong for, you know, files to be out here. This is people's personal information that anybody could have come by and gotten.
Investigators are now looking into the discovery of thousands of documents thrown into three dumpsters behind the facility. Shortly after authorities arrived on scene and put up crime scene tape, so did Marky Granberry with Mo Money Taxes.
Normally, we would have all files shredded shredded or whatever, but this, we don't throw files in the garbage can.
I asked him what happened and why the documents were not shredded.
Our lease was up on this operation, so I assume the landlord went inside of the location, and for whatever reason, he decided to throw the files in a dumpster.